ABC Radio Australia.
And it's Friday, which means that it's time for the Friday Forum. And we have two great guests today. We've got them both from Briz Vegas, who are going to join us to talk about their roses, their thorns and their bananas. But first, if you haven't already guessed, reporter Talia Olatia loves an audio montage. So here's a little something she prepared for this week.
The concern is between now and when the vaccine arrives, if we are going to see a spike in cases, how are we going to respond to that?
The news of Sir Michael Somare's current status in hospital by his immediate family on Sunday had triggered a wave of great sadness for many ordinary Papua New Guineans, both young and old, across the country.
There is a systemic issue with translation and interpreting services. I think COVID really, you know, shone a light on what was actually missing in the whole system.
The Pacific one, which formed a very active subduction zone. And this zone has actually produced over 20 earthquakes of magnitude 7 or larger in just the past 25 years.
Yes, I was relieved. I was very happy for our dear people across the Pacific who weren't able to get any Australian news through Facebook. This is indeed a much happier occasion than when I spoke to you last week and Facebook had taken it all down on Thursday.
What an interesting week it has been this week. So let's dive right into it. Liofa'ali'i Dion Inari is a PhD candidate at Queensland's Bond University. Talofa, Dion.
Talofa.
And Inez Fainga Manusione is a Doctor of Education candidate from Griffith University. Malolele, Inez.
Malolele, Jordan, you've said that really well.
Oh, thank you very much. And I have to say, let's talk about Pacifica academic excellence on display with the both of you. I'm just going to bring out the rules of this forum. The rules are simple. We've asked our guests to bring three stories to the program. The rose that made the story that made them feel good. The thorn, the story that got them riled up or passionate. And the banana, the story that made both of you laugh. I'm very excited to find out what you guys have got for me. I want to start off, though, first, just with the thorns. Let's get them out of the way. Let's get the bad news out of the way. Dion, what's your thorn for this week?
My thorn for this week is the death toll of coronavirus in the US and how it's hit almost 500,000. Yeah, it's a very, very sad news because on top of that, the Pacific communities in the US are disproportionately affected. So the rate in the US is high, and then the rate among Pacific people in the US is extremely high as well. So yeah, that's the thorn for today.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible numbers that we're seeing come out of the US. As someone based here as a Pacific Islander here in Brisbane in Australia, what is that perspective like for you looking out across the Pacific Ocean towards the US and seeing what's happening there?
Yeah, it's very disheartening because as a Samoan, we're hearing of Samoans passing away nearly every day in the US from COVID, which is such a contrast when you look at Samoa having no cases and Tonga having no cases and hardly any cases amongst Samoan and Tongan people in the Australian and New Zealand diaspora. So yeah, it's a very sad time. Yeah.
No, it definitely is. Inez, what are your thoughts on the US's death toll with COVID-19?
What is going on? What's happening? What I think it's concerning that they're losing so many people, and yet there doesn't seem to be an equally aggressive attack on the ground to really try and protect and take care of the people. So I'm really grateful in the space that we're in here in Australia that our leaders, you know, it'd be a terrible job to have to do, but they've done such a wonderful job as much as they can to keep us safe. So I guess there's probably more questions than answers at the moment in terms of the US approach to COVID.
Now, Inez, your thorn is actually based here in Australia for this week. Tell me a little bit about that one.
So I chose the seasonal workers with the situation with Vanuatu, 50 seasonal workers from Vanuatu that have suddenly gotten sacked with no answers. And I think that's a real concern for me in terms of it's a wonderful opportunity to have our communities come through and have an opportunity for employment. But We don't want to repeat history. We don't want to see, we want to avoid slave labour, and to have questions from our government, the Vanuatu government, asking where are these employers, why are they suddenly sacked. My query is around the working conditions, the accommodation costs, and what connections in the community and support is there for them, and where are they? And because, you know, they, I know that with our people coming over, that would be a massive ray of light and hope as they come over to be able to work, to go back and support the family, not just the family, probably the entire village. So that's probably all of Vanuatu disappeared. And where are the, my question is, where are they, and what's happening to ensure that we find them and they're okay?
Yeah, it's definitely a very concerning situation. A question to both of you on this topic of the seasonal workers here in Australia and what's happening with those from Vanuatu. Is there any one thing that you'd like to see change or happen in order to help better support those seasonal workers?
I think it's just the... I know of one case in Emerald where they've been really, really careful to ensure that the people that are taking them on are Tongan, that they've engaged the Tongan community to work with the Tongans coming over. And I guess the beauty of that is there's such strong cultural capital. So even if there's gaps or there's issues, we know that the Tongan community are going to pull in and look after and care for them. So I think for me, it's, I guess, better engagement of the local communities and Pacific Island communities that are in those spaces, so that there is that connection between home and here in Australia as well, so that they can, because they're going to be the strongest advocates for if there's working conditions that are not equitable. I know of one case last year in the community of a Tongan that he got injured and then ended up dying here in this space. So like those kind of things, they probably never make the news, but it's really impacting on our communities.
And Dion, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I totally agree with Inez, and I absolutely support what she said. Also, I also believe in terms of these Pacific work schemes to be effective, they must implement Pacific ways of knowing, Pacific ways of being, and must have Pacific people throughout all aspects of formulating these programs and implementing these programs if they really are true to be truly effective and efficient, instead of just having like Inez, my sister said, slave labor. So by having Pacific people in, by doing these initiatives and consultation with Pacific people, it would also, like Inez said, allow to all parties concerned will benefit. So by having Pacific people in the implementation stage and the formulation stage of a lot of these initiatives, the Australian government benefits because the outputs that will be better, and they'll have more efficient, happier workers, and the workers will also will benefit because their worldviews and their natural ways of being and knowing will be nurtured in the work environment. So I believe it's very important to have Pacific people throughout all stages of formulating and implementing these work initiatives.
Yeah, some really important ideas there, Dion. And it's, like as you said, these two thorns that you've chosen, the very concerning and ones that we'll keep our eye on across here at Pacific Beat. But let's turn to some good news now. I'm ready for that good news, ready to hear what you guys have for me. Dion, I'll start with you. What is your rose story that you've brought me?
The rose story I bring today is the Fijian Rugby League team singing a hymn of thanks while they were in isolation. So it's a video clip that's gone viral. So they've all sang outside of their balconies, their individual room balconies, singing a hymn of thanks to the hotel staff for looking after them.
I saw that on Twitter and it was amazing. We've actually got a little grab of that we can just play right now.
Excellent.
Yeah, absolutely beautiful singing voices. And, I mean, I don't know, but I don't think they're professional singers. They're just Fijian who can have amazing voices.
They just live and breathe that stuff.
Yeah. And you know what's awesome with Pacific people is you can put 50 Pacific people from around the world together, and you know they're going to sing in tune. Why this is specifically beautiful and amazing is because they're in isolation. So, you know, the term isolation is very foreign to us. Yet their voices, you know, they're in isolation. They're not allowed to physically gather with other people. However, as Pacific people, we always do things collectively. So although they couldn't physically be together with a whole bunch of people, their voices collectively combined and were together to produce such beautiful song.
Yeah, it was absolutely amazing. And look, Inez, speaking of Pacifica voices and people coming together, what's your Rose story for today?
Thanks, Jordan. I chose a story on Ulilato Gefo, who's currently playing Dwayne Johnson in the Young Rock. And it's just a story of, in terms of his journey coming through, a household of a single mum. His father passed away when he was 5. He's actually my cousin, by the way. But anyway, I think why I love this story is just because I've known his journey in terms of where he was as a young person. He originally lived in New South Wales and then came over to Bris Vegas to come and visit us. And from that space, he got involved in programs that we were delivering through the church at the time, but were getting funded by our local council to work with young people at high risk. They just so happened to be predominantly Pacific Islanders, but it was through these kind of programs that he began to find a passion for acting. And then we got him connected into our the professional theatre company of Le Boite, was doing some work with Sue Ryder. And then from there, he went into to work at NIDA. So what I love is just seeing, but I do have some dirt on him. So that's why I know his background. And he may have gotten in trouble every now and then from the police. Like, that's what I'm saying. Just coming in from that space and I guess finding, having these young people find a space where they can develop their skills and really break the stereotypes of, I guess, Pacific Islander youth. And he's really doing that, I guess, breaking stereotypes and really forging the way for Pacific Island actors. So that was definitely a rose for me, and it's great to have him back here in Brisbane doing his thing. I think he's back in the Gold Coast on another film that he's working on. But it's just exciting to see. I guess the point of that is having the funding that will continue to help cultivate the work that's being done locally in the community, whether it be through the churches or our local communities, because we're on the ground working with the next gen. So
yeah, that sounds
good.
Like,
stories, good things.
Yeah, it's a beautiful story and sounds like a pretty amazing journey for him as well. I'm very excited to eventually be able to watch The Young Rock. At the moment, I'm not sure if it's on air here in Australia just yet, but I know that it's going to air in America at the moment. Have you been able to watch any of it yet?
I haven't yet. I do have the link to watch it. I just have to actually make time to watch that happen. So, yeah. But I think for me it's just we're all cheering him on, seeing that he's really, made headways for himself and for many others like him. And it's good to see. What I love as well is that he's very passionate about giving back because he knows his own journey. So we had him as part of a Born to Lead project last year that we delivered in Logan. And he just came off the cuff to talk and inspire the next generation of young people to let them know that they too can, if he can do it, they definitely can as well.
Oh, that's absolutely amazing. Oh, those stories made me feel so warm and fuzzy inside. I loved them. Thank you so much for bringing those ones. All right, let's turn now to the funny stories. I'm ready to laugh. Dion, let's start with you. What is the story that made you laugh this week?
The story that made me laugh this week was I was yesterday years old when I found out that Almley brand, so many people, especially in the US, will be familiar. It's actually not cream. It's a cream substitute.
Wait, what brand?
Almley, yeah. And then as you look at the packaging, it actually says Almley Double, a deliciously creamy taste. So they didn't actually say that it was cream. It's many people just assumed it was cream. So yeah, I'm the whole living alive all this time.
Do you feel like cream? Is it fake cream?
I know it's fake cream. So, and here I have been advertising it all this time that I'll bring the Elmley cream. It's not even cream.
So what is it?
I've been lying to you, I've been lying to others. It's technically a cream substitute. Yeah.
And what do you use it in?
Wow.
I know. So you use it on cakes and the whole nine yards, and can eat it on its own. But yeah, that's my funny and shocking.
Do you feel like your whole world has been rocked by that?
Heck yeah! And I feel like I've been lied to, and I feel like I've been lying to others. So sorry, fam. Confess now. I never brought cream.
Okay, well, that definitely made me laugh. That is hilarious. Look, I hope you are able to push through that and reconcile with that whole lie of your life.
Yeah.
No, good luck with that. Good luck. Inez, can you top that? That's pretty funny. What's the funny story that you've brought?
Look, from fake cream to dumb criminals, that's what I've got. I've got the Northern Territory police officers spill on the dumbest criminals, and I think it's a show that's going live where they just talk about some of the things that they've had to see from, I think some guy was completely drunk on the Tiwi on a boat and then fell over, and then the guy that went to save him was also drunk and didn't know how to swim, so they're all both drowning in the sea.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, to be honest, I struggle to find funny stories in the news. We've got to step it up with, I'm sure there's heaps of funny stuff happening, but I just love that just because I've grown up in the Northern Territory, so it just took me back home in terms of the funny things that people do in the NT and the great work that the police do in that space.
I know, we definitely need to get some more funny stories in the news. Perhaps maybe Dion could start a newsletter with all his funny tales that he finds out. Guys, we're coming up to the end of the show. Thank you so very much for joining me with your rose, your thorn and your bananas. Thank you again for joining me on Pacific Beat this morning.
Thank you very much, Jordan.
Thank you so much.